Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Well, my name is Miles Dumas. I am the design director at Nail, which, if you don't know, we're kind of like a hybrid type of thing. We're an advertising agency, but we also have a pretty strong design arm. Could be a little bit of a design firm as well. And we're downtown Providence, a block away from Kennedy Plaza. And we've been there for like over 20 something years.
And, you know, what's really fascinating is you are wearing the swag for Rhode Island FC. And it's a really cool logo. There's a lot of components to it. The color scheme is really amazing as well. I'm a huge fan of like yellows and anything that's not powder blue and related to Rhode Island is kind of nice. And you designed this, so that's what we're talking about today. And so I'm really excited about that, because anytime design, art, design, media, whatever the case may be, is used as a way to form a cultural identity for an area. And this is a really big challenge, you know, because it's a brand new team. It's a brand new, well, it's not a brand new league. It's a new league to Rhode Island in this iteration anyway. So you have to create something that is at once novel, exciting, engaging, but also something that isn't so far out, so far from the average person's ability to process that they're just like, well, I don't even know what that means. It looks cool, but I don't know what it means. And you've kind of done that. So where did the early drafts, the early proofs of concept, how did this process start?
Yeah. I mean, I think you summed up a lot there in that question, because I think that was always the challenge from the beginning. You know, we had a really motivated ownership group that came in, you know, lots of different experience working with either USA professional soccer teams or even English teams. And they've been around the block. Like they know how to launch a team. They know how to be successful. And so we were, you're constantly in that battle where do you try to do something totally new and fresh that nobody's expecting, and try to basically build from the ground up this totally new thing and create this totally new aesthetic, totally new colors, totally new vibe for a team? Or do you go, I guess traditional is not the word, but like a little bit more familiar route, where you lean into symbolism that exists in that area or colors that people are familiar with, but you remix them in a certain way. So we started this process where we basically did all of that. It's like you almost have to try on a bunch of different things, because one of the big components of this project was also the naming, right? And so you see some people throwing stones and are like, oh my God, it's been a year and you just came up with Rhode Island FC. Well, yes, technically you are correct, but there was, I think we probably had maybe around 100 names. Mm-hmm. And out of that, maybe 20-ish or so that were considered. And I think where it boiled down to at the end of the day, I mean, depending on the name you pick, you obviously want the visual to marry with that. So once the names were ruled out, there was crests ruled out. And then when it came down to, I think we want to land Rhode Island FC, we had this idea of remixing a familiar state symbol that was just unanimously liked by all the people at all the listening sessions we did, because we did listening sessions all over the state, all different groups. It was like artists, there was crazy soccer fans, we did some great ones with Spanish speaking audiences. We did, people who just, were from city or more rural. And it was just crazy. The anchor, everybody loved it. But the crazy thing was they all had different, they imparted different meaning to it. So we had an anchor idea. And when we said, okay, it's Rhode Island FC, how can we merge that? How can we merge those two? And we had some good conversations with the owners. And there was really one meeting in particular where it all kind of gelled And we needed to figure out a way to like merge this anchor idea with Rhode Island symbolism, with remixed Rhode Island colors. And that's where we ended up.
Sometimes the simpler is better when, you know, whatever concept you're engaged with, you know, that's not always true. That's not a universal truth, but sometimes Rhode Island FC in this case, it's perfect. Why pull something out of left field, you know, come up with a nickname that is, you know, invent a new character or something like that when what you have right now is instantly identifiable. Number one, it doesn't exist and hasn't existed, which is actually somewhat shocking. And there's room for growth and interpretation in a way that is, you know, it's freeing from a branding perspective as well, because the consumer can then kind of make that into whatever they want it to be to a certain extent.
Oh, you're 100% right. Because I mean, we had names that were very specific, and they would, to land that name, you would need a very specific visual. And it's always, sometimes we get very specific. There's some people that are going to love it. Some people are going to hate it. I mean, sometimes to have a good idea, you need that tension. You have to have people that hate it and love it, or you'll never make anything good. But when it looked like it was going to be Rhode Island FC, at first I was a little bit like, oh, I don't know, like we have an opportunity here to do something different. But the more we thought about it, it's like if we had 10 other teams named Rhode Island, whatever, and we had all these other professional teams in the state, you could be like, oh, you're just jumping on the bandwagon. Wow, that's uncreative. But this is Rhode Island's team. We do not have anything like this. And the fact that we don't, we need to plant that flag. We need to own that name. We need to say this is Rhode Island's team, because one of the things from just the absolute beginning, then this is the beautiful thing about soccer, is this is a team for literally everybody. When people go to this game in a couple of years, they're going to see a mix of people that you're not going to find at any other sports, any other kind of game in our New England area, or especially in Providence. You're going to get a true community uniting at these matches. And so by calling it Rhode Island FC, that really cemented the idea that this is a team for all of Rhode Island. And in soccer or football, which most people call it in the rest of the world, the nickname of the team that comes organically. So you can try to force things, but you're going to get pushback from the supporter groups. So people don't realize there's supporter groups already jockeying to come in and be official supporter groups of the team. They want to make their own chants. They want to have nickname for the team. And eventually one will just rise to the top and we'll call them whatever. And the official name will be Rhode Island Football Club, but there'll be like a shorter or, you know, more kind of casual handle as well.
It's so nice to have a professional sports team that's not explicitly tied to Boston, you know?
Yes, and just in general,
it's something that I'd noted in years past, where the amount of people that walk around with a Boston, either Red Sox or very occasionally, I guess, Bruins, but you know, you're promoting Boston, Boston, Boston. And look, I get it. I mean, it's a regional team. You're going to wear a Braves hat if you live in Tennessee. You know, that's the regional team. I get it. I mean, I've watched a million Red Sox games in my life, but you know, there is something to be said about just even for the casual fan having that way to just sort of tie things back to our state, which is a standalone from Boston, and more with a lot of the other projects that are happening in Providence or Newport or statewide. You know, we're trying to, and I think successfully trying to build an identity of our own that is not explicitly tied to another driver and putting us as a secondary market.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy that you say that, because the meeting I was talking about, that really was the meeting that I think that got us over the line of going in the direction where we eventually landed, was exactly that tension that you brought up. Because I think there's a frustration for people here. Well, why don't we have anything to call our own? I mean, like, you could argue the Providence Friars or something when they're rolling like that pulls in a lot of people. It's, you know, but there's nothing that specifically is inclusive. And the idea that why don't we have a Yankees hat? Like, why don't we have an LA Dodgers hat? Why don't we have a Boston Red Sox hat that eventually transcends the sport? It just becomes regional pride.
Yes.
And you know, it's like, you'll see somebody walking around with a pink Red Sox hat. It's like, they might not even go to the games. They just want a Boston thing. They're like, I'm from this area. I want to rep where I'm from. And why don't we have that? And that was really a lot of the discussions we had. So say fast forward 10 years from now, you would love, somebody here's on a vacation or somebody's at, you know, the airport, they're rolling out and they want something to remember this region by. And by that point, this symbol has gone up to the level where it just reps Rhode Island. Yeah, it's the soccer team logo. Cool if you're a soccer fan, but if not, it's just a cool badge for our area, because it's hard to find those things, you know, and we're lucky enough in Rhode Island to have a symbol. A lot of places don't have a symbol. It goes back to the 1600s. It's crazy.
No, it's so true. And that's it. That's exactly it as well. It's not a completely brand new, like we said at the top, not totally out of left field that you introduce. It's not like it's a wind turbine, you know, or something with a soccer ball getting kicked around in the turbine or whatever, which would be interesting, but you know, come on. So the crest itself, let's talk about what went into the design. So I'm looking at it right now. Most people are going to be listening to this, of course. So it's an R and with the I going through it. It's an interesting font, and the I is the center of the anchor. The bottom of the anchor also has a lightning bolt. So where did this all come from?
Yeah, I think we can get, this will be for all the design nerds out there. Maybe we can get into a little more detail than and probably people have seen in some of the videos and everything like that. But yeah, there's a lot. I mean, when you're working with design, you know, just little things like what typeface are we going to use? That's a big deal. So one of the amazing things that happened when we started this project is we actually had time enough early on to do a lot of research. And man, when you scratch the surface of Pawtucket soccer history, it's unreal. And I feel probably 99.9% of people in the area don't actually even know the history. So we went down this rabbit hole and we connected with these historians, these US soccer historians that just opened up this whole world that existed at turn of the century, like late 1800s, early 1900s. It was one of the meccas of soccer in the entire world. Some of the best players in the world, best funded teams. First we had the first African-American professional soccer players. You know, they think maybe four or five guys in the entire world that were playing at that time. So we did this deep dive into inspiration visually. And so the typography is pulled from like Victorian era type that's right at that time, like turn of the century. It's a little bit more flourishy. There's a little bit more detail, you know, as like the industrial age was going up and people were getting kind of fancier things in the rise of the mills. And then that was kind of customized and tweaked to have some forward momentum. Another designer I work with, Meg Ducharme, had a real good, you know, some nice, real nice little subtle tweaks to that. Then we had to figure out how do we integrate it with the anchor. So that's hard because the R and I are not symmetrical. So you're like, how the heck, right. If it was an I and an O or I and an X or whatever. So you got to figure out how you do that where it feels balanced. And then, you know, we had our anchor and early on we had this, I was calling it a heavy metal anchor, this real energized anchor at the beginning. And that was really important to us. How do we take that, the anchor, but modernize it and make it cool and add a little aggression, but not go too over the top. And we liked the idea of it was almost electrified. So if anybody's been to a high level soccer match, it's crazy. It's a crazy atmosphere. The players are intense. The fans are intense. So let's bring that energy. And then it's like, how do you merge them all together? And then, you know, and then once we had the basic shape for that monogram and that mark, then it was like, okay, now we got to figure out the crest shape and the colors. So that's like, yeah. And the crest is a whole different story. That's a merge of basically the front of the bow of a ship and a shield. If you like merge those shapes together, because heraldry and crest shapes is really, really important in the history of soccer. And that was a big deal right there. And then there's little details like the banding on the name that goes back to some of the old teams that were there in the 1900s. There was a team called JP Coates and they had a big band right across the front. And that was Pawtucket's biggest team at the time. So there's a lot of like little details people probably won't pick up, just looking at it first. But when you get the whole story, you know, everything is intentional. There's nothing arbitrary.
Really cool. And like we were saying offline, you know, I'm looking forward to actually getting, I think, the sweatshirt that you're wearing and wearing it around, you know, because there's a big difference between the team itself, you know, Rhode Island FC and the branding around that and what's taking place there and the stadium project. And the two are obviously very much so integrated, but they're two separate conversations and they're, you know, we're the state doesn't need to scrutinize, just like when the roster starts to be formulated, you know, you don't have to be like, man, you know, the you know, the fullback is, you know, I'm not satisfied with that, you know, and start, you know, that's like a sports conversation.
Yeah, this is absolutely.
And that where we are today is in a cultural sports art conversation that's separate from a publicly financed stadium conversation. So,
yep.
What's it been like for you wearing that around town? Are people asking questions?
Well, we just got them. So it's like, yeah, it's cool. People are definitely, you know, people are curious. It's been funny to see, you know, people's reaction where they, you know, they might have seen the hat or something and now they know, you know, now they know what it is. And I think, yeah, it's cool. One of the things we felt really strongly is that we needed to have a color that you could spot somebody, like, you know, across Kennedy Plaza, or like, you know, in the mall or wherever the hell, at the beach, you see somebody wearing this amber color, you can instantly know they're probably a RIFC fan. We wanted to make sure you had that pop color. It's not for everybody. Some people might be like, you know what, the navy blue is more my speed. But I think, yeah, as people start to get the gear, because really the only people that have it right now were at the, you know, were the diehards that were at the launch.
Yep.
And then a lot of people are probably waiting for it to start arriving in the mail, because they're selling out of stuff. I mean, they're sold out of a few different hoodies. The scarf sold out the night, the hat sold out the night of. So it's a hot item. I think, especially coming into holiday season, that's when you'll see a lot of people in the new year rocking some fresh gear for sure.
I was at the Vets on Monday night for a show. Great show, The Smile, which is...
Oh, I'm jealous, man. I would love to have seen that.
Amazing. This, for those who don't know, it's the singer and guitarist of Radiohead with a former drummer of this great jazz band of Sons of Kemet. It was just an amazing show. And it was also their first U.S. show. They were kicking off their national tour in Providence. So you could feel that energy. Someone walked in next to me with a Rhode Island FC scarf around their neck because I was on the aisle seat, and I just went, yeah, and they didn't react. But I was like, this is awesome. You've got Tom. This is a great Rhode Island moment. We've got a new soccer team coming. Someone's wearing the gear. Radiohead essentially is choosing to start their tour and kind of work out the tweaks here at the Vets.
Yeah.
This is the Rhode Island a lot of us visualize expanding, you know, a cultural hub for not just local stuff, but local stuff supported by the international stage. And I understand USL Champions is not, you know, it's not the Champions League, but
yeah,
it's still a great league, and you're going to get a lot more than just college kids that are, you know, in between seasons.
It's crazy. It's growing like crazy. Like, I think you're so right, because even just in my own mindset, when we started this, I think sometimes Rhode Islanders are not used to nice things. You know, we like to be cynical. Sometimes you've heard big promises and it didn't pan out. So people are always looking at like, what's the catch? Where is this going to go wrong? And that's just our nature. Right. So I think for me, I was like, just like you said, I'd love to go to a brewery on the weekend or something, and you see somebody rocking a RIFC hoodie or whatever. That would be a success, that you just see it out in the space. And the owners were like, well, why does it have to be so localized like that? Why couldn't it be bigger? You know, why couldn't it be just, you're seeing people all over the state? Or one of the things people do when they travel, they like to bring some gear from where they're from. And one thing you do see with soccer fans is when they go abroad or they go to other states, you know, on a longer distance thing, not just going up to like Massachusetts, they like to rock their gear and rep where they're from. And I think that is great. It's like the USL is growing like wildfire. I think it is the fastest growing American sports league at the moment. They just had a USL team play in the USA Championships. Basically, there's like a US Open Cup,
the
best. It's kind of like our FA Cup for people who are into soccer. So it's the best club team in America. And we had a USL team playing an MLS team this year. Unfortunately, they didn't win. But that's going to start happening more. You know, maybe we could get a derby going, get the revolution down here. Let's take them on. Let's take them on at our place. I think there's going to be some rivalries, and it's going to get a bit bigger than what people think. You know, Hartford, we got to start messing with them right now. Let's start the rivalry.
That shouldn't be too difficult in general, but yeah.
So there should be some big matches. It's going to be cool.
Yeah, it really is. It's exciting and. Yeah, it's just, it's nice when things are happening. You know what I mean? That's what it really comes down. It's happening in a modern, interesting, exciting way. and the name and the crest that you've created really encapsulates what is happening. And like you said about the Red Sox logo, when you start to see, you know, I'm not sure, but I would imagine Governor McKee will have a hat pretty soon, and he'll be wearing, because he tends to wear like a URI something like that. And I remember he would always show up when I was doing interviews with him early on in this project for me, when he was lieutenant governor. He'd always wear a Rhode Island or URI hat, and he'd be like, I got to represent Rhode Island, got to represent Rhode Island. So,
yeah.
And as a URI alum, like I said, nothing wrong with it, but, you know, we're ready for something that's statewide, that transcends even beyond what is essentially college basketball. You know, soccer is up and coming in a way that college basketball simply isn't, even as a fan of college basketball.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is the future. I mean, there's always going to be people that don't get it, or that, you know, they think it's more of an international game. And I mean, just if you look what's going on, it's not, let's say every single market in America or in America is having major success, but man, you look at where things are now compared to 10, 20 years ago, and they are rabid soccer cities now in America. They're doing 40, 50,000 sellouts every night. You know, there's USL teams doing 10, 12,000 sellouts every night, 8,000 stadiums selling out every night. It's just that thing, because people don't get, you can really dial it up or dial it down. Like, you want to go with your kids, have fun, family time, awesome, you can do that. You want to class it up a little bit, there's gonna be some nicer seating options. You go on a date night, have fun. You've had a rough week at work, you want to go out with your friends and just let loose, go sit in the supporter section, have a few pints, go crazy, you can do that too. So there's more of a range, I think, than just going to like a minor league baseball game or something like that. And then it's, you know, when it starts, you know, when it's over, then you go on and do the rest of the things you have to do that day. It's not this all day affair. And I think that's what people like about soccer. You have your fun, and then your day is not totally consumed by that.
I completely agree. It's not like baseball where it's way too long, or even with college basketball now, with the amount of timeouts, TV timeouts, it's getting, where, you know, especially if it's not a close game, you're like, all right, there's no way I'm staying for another, you know, 20 minutes of play. I'm out of here at halftime.
Yeah.
And you know what's interesting too, the example that's cited, I've heard cited a few times by people who are detractors. They say, well, I mean, there's a USL team in Miami, and look at the attendance numbers. Nobody's going. Yeah. I mean, this is a major city, it's a cultural hotbed, and so on and so forth. And then it's like, have you seen the attendance numbers for Marlins games? Or even Dolphins games, or like Miami's like the worst major sports market, period. So that's a bad litmus test. Take a look at Louisville and places that are akin to Providence and Rhode Island in terms of attendance, and places that, although they have obviously a college franchise that's large down there, they don't have that sports identity and what the USL has done for it. So we've got about 30 seconds here. Just your thoughts on the legacy here, you know, assuming this project goes as well as I think it will, and the team exists maybe 100 years from now.
Yep.
Your work is going to be worn by soccer players, little kids, people way past both of our lifetimes. What's that like?
Yeah, no, it's huge. It's one of those things I was trying to communicate that to the team when it came in, how potentially big. I mean, you can never predict the future, right? But it's been the highlight of my career so far, being able to work on this. I'm so grateful that the owners, when they said they wanted to work local, they meant it. Sometimes people say that, but you just never know. And they actually really meant it, and they trusted us, and they were great partners. And, you know, we made something that hopefully everybody could be proud of. And who knows, it can get remixed over time. It's simple enough that people can make their own spins. I want to see kids making signs. You know, we already have somebody that got a tattoo. It's one of those things, you know, we'll see how it goes, but I'm really, 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 really excited. I hope people are as proud of it as we are. And I can't wait to see what the future holds. And hopefully 10 years, 20 years from now, you know, my kids are taking their kids to games and they're like, Grandpa did that.
With the increasing legalization of cannabis across the country, including most recently Rhode Island, the cannabis industry is growing at a rapidly accelerating pace. If you are already in the industry or wondering what is the best path to break into the cannabis field, well, the University of Rhode Island has a program to help educate you in the evolving space.
fully accredited by URI's College of Pharmacy, the online certificate program covers topics related to product development, chemical analysis and testing, and patient and customer therapeutics. The next application deadline for the spring 2023 session is November 29th, and courses start January 10th. Join them at two upcoming info sessions and learn more at uri.edu/online/cannabis or give them a call at 401-874-5280.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.